All right. Well, good morning, New Life. How are we in the parking lot? Awesome. Whether you are joining us online from wherever you are, welcome to Celebration Sunday. You're going to see a little bit different service. We're going to celebrate this morning what God's been doing in and through New Life. You're going to see a bunch of kids running around, a bunch of students running around. We're going to do child dedications. We're going to have baptisms. It's going to be just a beautiful and hopefully warmer in the next couple minutes morning here. So what I'd love for you to do is to stand up. Give a fist bump through the air to somebody near you, and we're going to start off with worship.
Amen. Can you give God some praise this morning? Go ahead and have a seat. We're going to have you sitting and standing and cheering and clapping all morning long. So just kind of be prepared for that. We're excited that you have decided to gather together, whether you're joining us here or joining us online. And we know that God is going to be glorified through everything that we do this morning. One of the very first things I want to share with you is that, you know, it's kind of unique over the, obviously, the last year. We haven't been able to have our normal crash course, which is our membership classes that we have. And yet we put some of those things online through what we call Right Now Media. It's the kind of software that we utilize in order to continue discipleship online. And we had 8 individuals that said, hey, you know what, I know it's pandemic, I know all this craziness is going on, but we had 8 individuals who since January said, hey, we want to become members of New Life Church. And not only, just so you understand, not only members of New Life Church, but also we are connected with a larger body called the Church of the Nazarene. And so there's really 2 things that I want you to know about that. First, when it comes to the Church of the Nazarene, we are a denomination that is Christian, that is holiness, and that is missional. Well, what does that mean? Well, we're Christian, meaning we are in agreement with the Orthodox creeds of the Christian faith down throughout history. And so that's important for you to know, maybe especially if you're brand new to New Life. The second thing is that we are holiness people. We believe that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live like Jesus, that we don't have to constantly battle sin, but we can have victory over sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit in order for our lives to reflect Jesus. And last but not least, we are missional. We are people who believe that and take seriously the command of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. And so those 3 areas are part of the membership covenant, as well as a local church. We break that down in 3 ways: that we are loved by Jesus, that we are shaped by Jesus, and that we are called to go and do what Jesus did. And so those individuals went through our crash course classes, and they committed to having membership. Some of those might be here at our 9 a.m., some at our 11 a.m., and then some still joining us online. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to just lift those individuals up in prayer, because I know this. And really, throughout the morning, just when you watch individuals get baptized, when you watch these parents make a commitment and dedication of their children, I know that every time that we take a step closer and in deeper relationship with God, I know that the enemy always tries to come against that. And so we just want to cover these new members in prayer. So would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you, God, and we lift up these new members that have taken this next step in covenant. And God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would just continue to empower them, that God, you would encourage them, that God, you would help them discover even more fully their giftedness and where they can serve in the life of this faith community. And so God, we ask all these things in Jesus' powerful and mighty name, amen. Well, my wife, Dana, who's also our kids' men director, is gonna be coming up here to help me out a little bit. And I think we have some families that are gonna be coming up, and we are gonna dedicate some children. And so can you just welcome them to the platform, please? Yeah, come on. You guys can come put one family on this side. And then you guys are going to just right on the stage there. Awesome.
All right. I was going to introduce them to you real quick.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yep, go ahead.
So this one is Radley right here with Mom Antonia and Dad Mitch. And then on this side we have Kalea and Layla. And awesome. Big Brother is out supporting out there, Connor. And then this is Noah and Tim.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we're so excited that you guys are here today. And I just want to talk to you for a few moments, but also to us as a congregation, about what dedication actually means. In the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, the people of Israel are getting ready to enter into the promised land. And God knows that every time that you make covenant, or every time you have a significant event in your life, the further out you get from that event, the more intentional you have to be to keep that kind of that significance in front of you. And so he knows that as they enter into the promised land, they're going to have to constantly keep the word of God and what it means to raise their children to know and to love God in front of them. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, he says this: "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I give you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on your doorpost, your house, and your gates. And so essentially what scripture is saying is, hey, wherever you are and wherever you're going, and you're coming and going. So when you're in the minivan or SUV on the way to school or sports or wherever in the future, talk about God. When you're getting ready to go to bed, turn off that Netflix show that you just watched and talk about the things of God. Pray with one another, encourage one another. Keep the ways of the Lord before you, both as you model that, as well as you teach your children. And so a couple of really quick things to remind ourselves. First of all, your children are a gift from God. They are an incredibly beautiful gift from God. And we recognize that in 1 Samuel, Hannah, who had prayed to bear a child for so long, finally, when God blessed her with a child, she dedicated Samuel back to God. And that's where this practice of recognizing that children are a gift from God and we get to dedicate them back to God. Everything that is an incredible gift in our life, whether it be our marriage or the gifts and graces God has given us, the talents and our children, are always more safe, secure, and become more fully alive when they are in the hands of our Heavenly Father. And so we dedicate our children back to God. And so here's what you're committing to. Today you are presenting this your children for dedication to signify not only your faith in Jesus, but also your desire that your children at an early age may know and follow the will of God, that they may walk in his ways and come into everlasting relationship with their Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus. In order to attain this holy end, here is your responsibility. Model and teach early on what it looks like to know and to love God. Watch over your children's education and their instruction. Direct your child instruction in the Holy Scriptures and teach them not only to know God's word, but to love God's word and to see it as life-giving. Raise them to be a part of a faith family, a community of believers who can pour into them, and to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you will covenant to do these things today with God's help, will you say, I will? Awesome. And then as a congregation, you have a special role. Dana and I learned really early on that was super important to surround our children with people who would say the same things that we were saying, but because sometimes it came from a different source, they would actually listen, right? And so it's so important to have other people in your children's life who can encourage them, who can celebrate with them, who can pray for them, who can know their name. In fact, there's incredible research done that says that one of the most important things in a child's faith development is that when they walk into their church or faith community, that there would be five people who weren't their parents who knew their name. As simple as that. Five people who knew their name and were able to say hello and to pray for them. And so you, as a congregation, I ask you, will you commit yourselves as the body of Christ to support, encourage these parents as they endeavor to fulfill their responsibilities to their children and assist their children by nurturing them in their growth and spiritual maturity? If you will, say, we will.
We will.
Awesome. All right, we're gonna, yep, Radley James, right? Hi, look at those blue eyes. He's like, back up. No, that's okay. Radley, we're gonna dedicate you, okay? All right. If you would reach out your hand. Do you folks have any family here today?
Yeah, we do.
You wanna have your family stand up? That's all right where you're at, that's okay. We're not going to embarrass you too much. Everybody's just going to stare at you right now. That's all right. And all the congregation, reach out your hand to Radley, and we're going to dedicate him right now. Radley, we dedicate you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we ask that you would pursue Radley early on. God, we ask that he would come to know you at an early age. That, God, he would recognize your love for him. And he would receive your gift of forgiveness, that he would become the man that you created him to be. And we ask all these things in Christ's powerful and mighty name. Amen and amen. Can we celebrate Radley this morning? Mm-hmm. Yep. Cool, got that one. All right. And this is Kalea and Layla. And then that's a tongue twister for me this morning. That's all right. I'm sure mom and dad sometimes stumble over that when they're celebrating them, not hollering, just celebrating. Awesome. So Kalea and Layla, we're going to dedicate you this morning. I know you've got some family on the way. Were they able to sneak in the back?
I don't think so.
We got Connor.
We got Connor. Awesome. Connor won't have you stand. You can just kind of, you know, taking strong video right there. There you go. Yeah. Awesome. So let's dedicate Kalea this morning. Heavenly Father, I lift up Kalea to you and I dedicate her in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we ask that you would continually pursue her all the days of her life, that at a young age she would come to know you as her Lord and Savior, and that she would receive the gift of forgiveness that comes through Christ Jesus. God, I pray that she would grow into the woman that you have created and crafted her to be. And we ask all these things in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate Kalea? Yeah. And Layla, it's your turn now. You ready? Let's pray for Layla. Heavenly Father, we dedicate Layla in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we ask that she would have her eyes fixated on you. We ask, God, that she would come to know you at an early age, that she would receive your gift of forgiveness into her life, that, Lord, she would follow you all the days of her life, and that, God, she would become the woman that you created and designed her to be. And we ask all these things in Jesus' powerful and mighty name. Amen and amen. Awesome. Can we celebrate, Layla? Congratulations, families. So excited for you. Folks, when we dedicate children, it's just such a beautiful reminder that this is what it looks like. Faith is so much caught more than taught. And it's through these types of rhythms that our children begin to understand what it looks like to follow God. And how awesome will it be when these children come to an age where they recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we not only get to dedicate them, but we get to baptize them. In fact, when we were in Michigan, we had us and several of our friends had all of our children right around the same time frame. And so we had the privilege of dedicating all of them together. And then about 7 years later, all of them came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we had the privilege of baptizing them all together. That's what it looks like to be a part of a family. And so we're going to continue to celebrate today, and the team's going to come back up and lead us in some more worship. If you are here today and you are prepared to be baptized, you're ready to be baptized, I want to encourage you to start making your way up to the baptismal tank that's up there. Don't worry if you're sat down here in the front row. We're going to have the screen up there. You won't have to like wrench your neck too much. You'll be able to see right on the screen. But go ahead and start making your way up here. And then I want to ask all of you, would you just stand as we continue to worship this morning?
I will sing of your goodness, I will sing of your love. Though the seasons come quickly, you have always been enough. Though the night may get darker, though the waiting seems long, you have always been faithful to remind me of your love. And you to bless you, standing firm upon your truth, knowing you cannot be shaken, cause I've seen what you can do. You are good. In the morning I sing, you are good. In the evening I sing, you are good. You are good to me.
We thank you for being here and what you're doing, and we do celebrate this Sunday everything and the ways that you've moved over the last year, and you're moving in people's lives, and we're thankful to see it, we're thankful to be a part of it, and we're thankful for what you've done in our own lives. So we do celebrate this morning in the name of Jesus, and everyone said amen. All right, turn your attention up there to the baptismal, and Pastor David, please.
Well, one of the things that we talk quite a bit about, you can be seated. Yeah, go ahead and be seated for right now. Yeah, I'm gonna do a little bit of teaching just to remind us what baptism is all about. One of the things that we talk a lot about here at the Woods is that we want to be followers or apprentices of Jesus. And it's so important that we recognize how we begin to follow after Jesus and why we do this thing even called baptism. In Matthew 28, verse 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this: the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. And then in verse 18, it says this: Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I want to make sure that you notice a couple of things that are vital to this particular passage. First of all, it says, Jesus is speaking of himself, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. It's a statement of lordship that Jesus is making. All authority is given to Jesus and him alone. And part of baptism is recognizing that lordship of Jesus. When Jesus says he's been given all authority in heaven and earth, and then we are baptized, we're declaring that we believe Jesus has all authority in our lives. We do not have our lordship to wealth or revenge or pleasure or the kingdoms of this world. We give our lordship to Jesus. All authority over my life. All authority over my past and brokenness and sin. all authority over my future of who God is shaping me to be, all of that is given to Jesus. And as a disciple, we are called to go and live and announce this mission. And so baptism is the inauguration moment in the life of the disciple. It is not the end point. Some people are like, yeah, man, I've been baptized. I'm good, right? No, no, no. Baptism is that inauguration moment in the life of the disciple where they simply go down into the waters, and as they come out, they are truly a new creation. So let's talk about what baptism continues to do. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, you have Peter who is preaching the good news of the gospel. If you remember the story of the book of Acts, you have the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon the disciples and in that upper room. And they go out and they all of a sudden Peter stands up. Now remember, Peter was the one who denied Jesus three times. And now here he is in the midst of an incredible crowd standing up and preaching the good news of Jesus. And he begins to talk about how the crucified and resurrected Jesus, that rabbi from Nazareth, is now king of the world, and that his kingdom has come and his kingdom will come in its fullness in the future. And one day when it comes in the future, God will set everything to rights. And on that day when Jesus returns, that you will either step into that future with joy and excitement and wonder and awe and thanks, or you will find yourself separated from the fullness of what God is doing in this world. And so Jesus invites you by faith to believe in him, to be saved, and to step not only into that kingdom in the future with confidence, but also live out that kingdom right here and now. And so here's what Peter says after he's done kind of preaching that type of message. He says, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. And it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to their apostles, brothers, what should we do? And so get this, you have this incredible crowd, and Peter's preaching the good news of the gospel and say, man, you can receive Jesus, and you can step fully into the future with joy and excitement and anticipation of what God is doing in this world. And it says, through the Spirit, that message pierced their hearts, and they said, what shall we do? How do we be a part of this? And he says, repent, believe, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the people respond, about 3,000 of them, by believing and being baptized, or in the Greek, baptizo, which means to dunk, to submerge, to fully go into the water. And Paul gives us a reminder of what that actually looks like. In the book of Colossians, we read these words of what is actually happening in baptism. Colossians chapter 9 says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Essentially, again, Paul's declaring our doctrine that God, that Jesus was fully God and fully man. But get this, verse 10, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. And so there's this union that comes together when you receive Christ, and there's this union that takes place when you are baptized. Well, what does that union look like? Verse 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Guess what that means? They have no rights to you anymore. The spiritual powers that are causing havoc and evil and sin in your lives have no rights to you anymore. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And so there's this incredible union that comes together. And some people might ask, well, what does that union mean? What is true of Christ is now true of you. And when you go down into the water here in just a couple of moments, when you guys go down into the water, you are being buried with Christ, which means the old you, the old sinful, broken you, has now been crucified just as Christ was crucified. And so that is an old way of being human, an old way of being you. And when you come out of that water, you are raised to life, just as we celebrated last week, the resurrection. The life you once lived is no longer the life you lived. You become a brand new creation. You become a brand new human, which means this. You get to live into that new reality. That new reality that you are a new creation, you get to live into the fullness of all the implications of that each and every day from this day forth. And now some people might say, hey, well, it's just, you know, it's just symbolism. Yes, there's incredible, beautiful symbolism that takes place. But there's also something spiritual and supernatural that takes place when we're baptized. You know, it kind of reminds me, and I know I've shared this with some of you before, it kind of reminds me of our wedding day when Dana and I got married on January 8th, 2000. Prior to that, we had dated. Prior to that we were engaged. But when we made that covenant on that day, yes, there was beautiful symbolism that happened in that wedding ceremony. But all of a sudden, something unique and wonderful took place in that particular moment as well. We walked away from that ceremony, and I didn't go, hey, that was really fun. It was great symbolism, but I'm going to go live my life just how I've always lived it. I don't think she would have been too fond of that. But what we were both invited into was a beautiful and wonderful covenant of a marriage relationship. And in that marriage relationship, in fact, back in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, it says that we become one flesh. There's a union that takes place in the covenant of marriage. There's a union that takes place in the sacrament of baptism. And so your life, when you are baptized, will be forever different because of what God has done in you. And so I'm going to pray for those that are being baptized. And I want to remind all of us here that maybe there is somebody, and we always open it up for this. Maybe there is somebody that is sitting here listening today and going, man, I've never been baptized. I've never fully surrendered to God. I've never gone into those waters. And today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, and I just feel prompted to do that. Do you know what? We always come prepared. We always have shirts. We always have towels. And so if the Lord leads anybody that's gathered here today to move in that direction, we would love to baptize you today. But we are going to pray for these individuals and ask God to continue to bless them, to strengthen them, and to encourage them that you are truly new creations. And so, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today. God, we ask that your hand would be upon these individuals. We ask, God, that you would strengthen them. We ask, God, that you would keep the enemy from them, God. We know that the moment you make this type of covenant commitment, the enemy comes against, God. We just bind the enemy from them. We ask, God, that as they come out of those waters, that you would just give them a sense that they are a new creation. God, would you just encourage them would you write this date on their heart and on their minds, God, so that when temptation comes, when things maybe aren't quite going how they thought that it would, that they would point back to this particular moment and they would remind themselves, I am a new creation. I have union with Christ. What is true of him is true of me. God, watch over them, protect them, encourage them, and strengthen them all the days of their life. We ask all these things in Jesus' powerful and mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Well, whether you're watching at home or you're here in the parking lot, baptisms is always a celebration here at New Life. We wanted to give you a chance to meet the, I think there's seven of you. I can count really good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that have said yes to this step. So we wanted to give you a chance just to meet them. And then a quick reminder, as they get in, you can cheer a little bit. We will take their picture as they get dunked and they come out of the water. Your job is to go crazy and go nuts, all right? So that's your job as a church, be able to cheer them on. So exciting. So we're going to go through the list of who we've got here. Tell us just your name and why today is the day.
My name's Alice, and I'm ready for a new beginning.
Amen. Amen. All right, and right here, what's your name?
Cameron.
This is Cameron. And Cameron, why is today special?
Because I'm getting baptized.
Awesome. And Karen, how old are you?
7.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. And then over here, who do we have? This is Caitlin. And Caitlin, why is today special?
Because today's the day I choose God.
Amen. Amen. So great. All right. And last but not least, we've got a whole family over here. Who do we got?
Hey, guys. This is the Field family. My name's Steven. This is Megan. This is Grace. Grace, how old are you? 6, and Everly. Everly's 4. And we want to be baptized today for two reasons. First is an inward response to what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. Amen. And second is an outward expression that we want to show. We want to show the world that we are followers of Jesus. No longer want to be a secret agent Christian. We want to go out there and be all in.
Awesome. Awesome. So great. Well, we've already prayed for it. I think we wanted to start off with Cameron. Cameron, you're going to go first, all right? And actually, we've recruited a retired lifeguard to help us get people in and out, which is so great. So here we go. Worship band's going to go. You guys are free to sing along and join in.
In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief, and I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody.
Alice.
And heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm on a sea in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeat. Sing a little louder. Sing.
good. Perfect. All right. So Cameron's dad, this is Jason Gard. He is saying yes. You can head over there and take a picture. We're so excited for you.
Folks, I don't know if you fully can grasp it or take it in right now, but you need to know this, that you just witnessed visually what happens when people move from death to life, when they move from brokenness to wholeness, when they move from being someone who was trapped in sin to someone who is alive in Jesus. Man, we got to celebrate that this morning. And like I said when I was up there, this is the inauguration, right? This launches you into a life of serving and loving God. In the book of Matthew, you have some of the most incredible miracles that take place in chapters 8 and 9 specifically. Jesus heals paralytics. He does incredible ministry. So much so that if it was you or I, during that season, we would have been Instagramming or posting every single thing that was happening. And yet when he comes to the end of chapter 9, Jesus still sees the need that's there. And he looks at the crowds that are still coming. And he says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And he says this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so he says, ask the Lord of your harvest, of the harvest, to send out more workers into the field. And then in chapter 10, that's exactly what takes place. Let me read to you. Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 7, says this as he's speaking to the disciples. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely you can give. And last week, that's exactly what we talked about. If you weren't able to be with us on Resurrection Sunday, we talked about how we had the opportunity to be a part of two communities in Kenya, Bartabo, Kenya, and Bandaptai, Kenya. And those two communities now have a partnership with New Life on the Central Coast, right? And we had the opportunity to connect with those two communities and see God do incredible resurrection work. So last week, over 115 of you said, hey, I want to be chosen by a child in that community. I want to enter into a resurrection relationship, a life transforming relationship with a child in Kenya. And this past week, they had some celebration parties. And those children who were part of Chosen got to walk into a room, and I got a video this week from my person who chose me. His name's Clinton. Clinton's 12 years old. He's in the sixth grade. And he walked into a room, and there were our pictures from New Life all across the room. And he walked in there, and he walked up, and he walked down, and he came to the picture of our family, the Hutsko family, and he took that picture down, and he held it. And then he said, when he was asked, why did you pick this particular family? You know what he said? Because they were happy. Because they were happy. And all of a sudden, our family enters into a new resurrection relationship where we not only get to be a part of seeing Clinton grow to come and to know God in his life, But we see God through resources and education and clean water open up possibilities and dreams and visions that may have never been possible otherwise. God has knit our family together with Clinton this last week. And for 115 of you, more than 115 of you, God has knit you together with someone who also chose you. And so if that was you this past week, if you made that commitment, your card is going to be, as you leave, your card is going to be just outside, like to the back of the parking lot. And you want to stop by and pick up and discover what child chose you. Now, if you were someone who maybe sent that picture in or signed up just after 6 o'clock, I want you to know that yesterday your chosen party was happening. And if you sign up even later in the week, then your chosen party will be happening this week, and they will be sending you that information just like I received mine. But I also know that for some of us, we weren't able to be here last week. And you're sitting there going, you're having FOMO right now. You're saying, man, I want to be a part of the New Life Partnership in Kenya. I don't want to miss out on that. I want to be a part of a resurrection story in a child's life. And guess what? You can do that also. This is something we're going to hopefully continue on at least a quarterly basis where people will have the opportunity to do this. But today, up till 6 o'clock today, if you choose to be chosen by a child, you'll get your picture taken. They will have a chosen party this coming week, and then they will send you the information and a video and a letter about that chosen party, and so that you can be a part of this incredible work. Folks, we don't want to just be people who attend church. We don't want to just be people who listen to a message. We don't want to be a people who get baptized and say, okay, I'm good. I just kind of have to hang on till Jesus comes. We want to be a baptized, Holy Spirit-empowered church that goes throughout the world declaring the kingdom of God and the resurrection of Jesus and how he transforms our lives. Amen? And so would you stand with me this morning? As you leave today, don't you dare leave sad. Don't you dare leave as somebody without hope. But if you have gathered today and Jesus is Lord of your life, leave as people who are gripped by the hope of Jesus and compelled to share how Jesus has made you fully alive. You can't even stop talking about it, because Jesus has done so much in your life that he might use you to open the eyes, to open the ears, to open the heart of someone in this world to that life-transforming relationship. And so, go into all the world, baptizing people in the name of Jesus and teaching them all his ways that they might discover life and life to the full in him also. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. Hope to see you again next week.